Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Welcome back to the Classic Business Show, brought to you by Eltron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at eltron.com. Eltron, there when it matters. Well, what a stroke of good news that is, shared by Kotlego Makhase now. The cleanup certainly continues. Time now to turn our attention to our offshore investment feature with Unum Capital CE Mark Wetman, who set up a portal for Classic Business listeners to begin trading offshore at trade1027.co.za. Evening, Mark.
Good evening, Michael.
Now, what a week we've had since our last chat. I saw a very interesting comment that I was chatting to Nessa Nair about, written by Ray Dalio, saying that we must start to imagine the other types of wars that might flow from the US-China confrontation. So it's not just capital, it could be military over the near term and even over the longer term. Crazy stuff.
It is, and once again, I mean, when I started putting together the content for the show tonight, it was gloom and doom, and everything was red, and suddenly now it's green in the U.S. and the Nasdaq's up 1%, and it all looks rosy again, and I think I sent you a quote from Donald Rumsfeld, which says, "The unknown unknowns," and I kind of feel as a trader at the moment that we're having to deal with all of this geopolitical events on a day-by-day basis. And I think you have to trade what's in front of you on any given day.
It does create a lot of opportunity for a trader because we are seeing a lot of volatility. We're seeing wild swings and gyrations. And if you look at the bounce back today, it's really attributable to one thing, the fact that we've seen the U.S. now give Huawei until, what is it, the 19th of August to get its house in order. And so the market says, okay, well, we've got a few more weeks, possibly a few more months of the good times, so let's go again. How do you, as a trader, figure out when to get in and when to get out in an environment like this?
So I suppose that's the difference between trading and investing. So what we're doing for the listers is we're buying stocks that we're going to hold for the sort of medium term, but we are trading around them a little bit. So clearly when we've got the news for the Hawaii trade restrictions last week, you know, I knew immediately that was going to affect that tech bucket that we put on, and there was an immediate knock-on effect for the last towards the latter part of next last week into the Nasdaq. But as you say, if you just hold quality for a while, it sort of pays you back because we're actually in the money on that trade, amazingly enough, even through all of this drama last week. So I suppose that's the difference between trader and investor. Investor, yeah, you ride through it. Trader, like I am, you tend to trade a lot of this noise and try and make some money from it. And in fact, one or two of the trades that we're going to chat about later on today is about trading some of the noise and making some money while we've got the opportunity.
Now, once again, the polls have got it wrong as well. If we look at the last week and the week that was, the Australian centre-right Liberal National Coalition and Mr. Morrison pulled off a shock win in those federal elections. So it once again shows that we can't trust the polls when it comes to reading the geopolitics.
It seems that way. And I was fortunate last year that we didn't, both with the Brexit and with the US elections, we didn't follow the polls. I got a gut feel from cousins and aunts in the UK that the UK one was going the other way. So we were a little bit fortunately there. We went very lightly into that. And I think nowadays, if you're going to trade around polls, just be very, very careful.
Now, talk to me about stock-specific news. Pinterest was one of those, when it listed, that was seen to be the last safe space on the internet. It wasn't about trolling. It wasn't about having your 2 cents worth. It wasn't about shaming people like happens on Facebook. It was a nice safe space. You could go and share pictures of your bedroom and what you'd like to own in terms of motor vehicles or your favorite recipes or whatever. But its shares have taken a tumble. What's led to the latest decline in Pinterest?
Yeah, so I love Pinterest. I use it myself. If I ever want to get an inspiration for anything, I go into Pinterest. I know my daughter does as well. She's quite creative. But unfortunately, they've given out a bit of a forecast, a poor forecast. But I think you need to look through that. I think this is a really good company. I think it owns a really good space on the internet. I do think, as you say, it's not full of trolls. It's full of people with creative ideas. And if you want to be very specific and find something, you can go to Pinterest. So I think you need to look through that. It's not one I'm punting tonight. It's one I'm saying, let's put on our watch list. Let's keep an eye on it. And if it starts to come through and it starts to give us some good forecasts on earnings, et cetera, and start talking about how it's going to make some profits, then I think then maybe we'll put it into the portfolio. But not one I'm going to go jump into yet, but okay. One to put on the watch list.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we do have a big chunk of US tech, as you said to me earlier today. So I suppose we look at the next company, Tesla. It's another one that is very tech-driven when it comes to the new electric drivetrain of the motor vehicle. It fell under $200 a share today. Teslageddon was one of the headlines that I saw today. Is this one that interests you at those levels?
I'm not keen to jump into the passenger seat yet. I also saw that headline saying below $200 is probably worth getting into. I'm going to sit on my hands. I'm not convinced. They're burning through so much capital. I don't see that there's light at the end of the tunnel yet. I'd rather sit and wait. And if it's not Tesla, wait for one of the other vehicle manufacturers to come up with electric or hybrid that makes commercial sense. So we're going to sit on our hands on that one. I'll let someone else have a punt on that one.
When we look forward, macro data coming out, there's Fed Watch, there's ECB minutes, there's quite a lot of macro noise around the place. What are you going to be keeping your eye on?
So as a trader, there's always good data to trade around. So for those guys who are more active out there, wants to watch clearly ECB minutes coming out, Fed minutes coming out on the 22nd, so watch out for those. They'll give us an indication of what's going to happen with interest rates in Europe, what's going to happen with interest rates in the States. The States is a bit of a lottery. You've got half the camp saying we should have reducing interest rates. Others are talking about inflation coming through with tariffs and that we should have hiking. So that it's going to be interesting to see which way the Fed goes on that. For our portfolio, clearly Germany GDP coming out later in the week. You know, we own BMW. It had a little spike up last week. Maybe some of you took some profit on that. But we're still holding it. So we'd watch what's happening in Germany to see what's happening in the European economy for our trade.
And it has been interesting to have a look at earnings on the S&P 500. I was chatting to Chris Holdsworth of Investec yesterday, and the fact that we've seen so many companies beat on earnings, yet we still haven't seen analysts upgrade their forecasts for earnings expectations into Q2 and Q3. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on that one. I just want to dive into our portfolio performance overall. You've mentioned BMW, that MSCI, ACWI, that benchmark is down. How are we doing in our other trades? 3M had some good numbers, didn't it?
So, you know, interestingly enough, yes, and it hasn't done us any good. So it's down 5% at the moment, and I'm a little bit surprised around
I'm
that.
I'm surprised by that.
It's the laggard in our portfolio, and I like it. It's a really good stock. Thought it would do better for us, but maybe people are looking elsewhere. I'm not sure what the reason for that is, because the other stocks are actually looking okay. I mean, if I look at our small cap is only down just over 1%, which surprises me. I thought we'd get hurt a little bit more than that last week. We're actually up on our financial ETF. We're up on our tech ETF. Where Netflix is actually doing very well for us, 3.3% for the week. You know, it's amazing what a day makes, because when I did these numbers this morning, we were marginally down on the portfolio and we're pretty much flat now. And our benchmark was down 4% when I looked this morning, and it's only down 3.4% now. So it's amazing what difference a day does make. It does tend to paint over the cracks a little bit.
Absolutely. And BMW, how has that trade done?
So BMW, and this is where sometimes I'd like to be the trader, not the investor, because on Thursday, when Trump came out and said in Europe that he was going to back off a little bit on tariffs, BMW spiked and pretty much got within a whisker of our take profit. But unless you were sitting online, real-time trading, you probably would have missed it. So I'm not going to take that one as a win. I'm going to say we're holding it, and we're slightly off sides at the moment. We're 3% down on BMW, but I'm not too worried about that, because I think we'll go and take out last Thursday's high again.
And that is one advantage of being in that chat group, which is available via the Trade 1027 website. What are the new trades that you've got this week?
Okay, so I've decided, you know, with this, I think it's called swine flu, African swine fever.
Yeah.
And its effect on the agricultural sector in China, some stocks have been, I think, unfairly punished. So I'm looking at deer, you know, clearly in the agricultural space, those tractors, is very much an agricultural play, and it's been hit really hard. It's a good stock. If I look at analysts' forecasts, you've got 20 analysts who cover the stock, and 22 that cover it, and there's 20 of them have either a buy or a hold rating on it. And it's trading near 52-week lows. So my mantra, as we said when we first started this portfolio, if we can get quality at a reasonable price, let's do it. So
yep.
I think if we can get deer between 135, 136, might be a bit higher than that now with a little bounce we've had today, but let's try get around there. I think we could easily get the target price that most of these analysts have, which is sort of 158 to 160, and that'll be a healthy profit on that. So that's my first one. So that's, we're buying deer. The short code is DE. It trades on the New York Stock Exchange. My second one is a proper punt. I'm not a video gamer, but I
know
I
a few, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, look, I believe it's a professional sport. One of my daughter's friends was telling me he makes a fortune trading gaming. So maybe I should move from a trading screen to a gaming screen. But video game sales numbers coming out later this week. So I thought instead of trading the ETF there, let's take a punt on two of the stocks. So I've got two of the gaming stocks that have been real laggards, and this is a proper punt. So we're going to go with Activision Blizzard, which is the code is ATVI. And GameStop, whose code is GME. And we've got an entry there of $44 on the one and $8 on the other. And if we get that right in the punt, I think we've got 10 to 20% upside on this. And it's a pure punt. Well, and we'll take those trades off next week if we miss it.
Mark, I was chatting to Chris at Investec yesterday about the insane amounts of money that sponsors are throwing at celebrity gamers like Ninja, who plays Fortnite. $50,000 an hour to go and play the game and talk about it on YouTube. So maybe we are sitting in the wrong business and we should be talking about that full time. What's your third trade?
So because of all these IPOs and people like IPOs, and remember last week we said let's sit on sit back and wait for Uber and Lyft, and they seem to be making bottoming out a little bit. But instead of just going and buying specifically those one or two IPOs, I came across a really nice IPO ETF. Its share code is BO. I think this is one we're going to buy and we're just going to hold it. You know, typically the way it works is it puts IPOs into its portfolio after 5 days, and its maximum holding is 2 years. So it's during that period when an IPO has come to the market and it's not included yet in a big index. So you can make a lot of performance out of those IPOs. So, you know, last year it took 80% of the IPOs and put them into its basket. So I think this is a way for us to get into the IPOs without going directly and taking a lot of risk on each share.
Interesting. As we know, what goes up can also go down, as we've seen with the likes of Lyft. But that is a very interesting ETF. I hadn't come across that one before. Now, the question for this week, and we welcome listeners to post their questions on trade1027.co.za on the website, and we promise to respond to as many as we can. The first one goes, Mark, it looks like you're constructing a core and satellite type portfolio. Can you just explain core and satellite, and does that apply to this Trade 1027 portfolio?
Well, initially when I got that comment, I thought it was a little bit of an insult, because I'm not known for being passive, but I understand where they're coming from. We do hold three ETFs, and we're now adding a fourth. So a core and satellite strategy is very much, I call it a core and explore, where essentially you hold a whole lot of ETFs, some beta or some active beta, and then you add shares around it. And when I looked at the portfolio after seeing that comment, I can see where they're coming from. We've got a bit of passive, so we've gone and bought some of these ETFs, but they're thematic ETFs, and then we've added some shares around it. So, yep, I suppose you could put us in the core and explore top.
Core and explore. I like that one. That's all the time we have to explore tonight with Unum Capital CE Mark Wertman, who set up a web portal for Classic Business listeners to begin trading. You can go to trade1027.co.za. Let's cross to Katleho for the traffic.